This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
I feel like I've been gone for a long time. We've had these like four-day weekend, three-day-on thing. I feel like I'm a shift worker back in the old Siltec days.
What are you talking about? You're a government employee now, I guess. You know, 3 days of work, 4 days of vacation.
Yeah,
come
right.
on.
Oh! It's so hard. Anyway, you had a lot of fun. I mean, you didn't get to sit there and rest. You had work to do.
No, Warren and I were out at Consumer Cellular for their grand opening on Thursday afternoon. It was a ton of fun. Got a couple of goodie bags. Talked to a number of KYKN listeners.
Nice.
And just that whole setup. It is so. Compared to a lot of the big cell carriers, is low stress. It is all about the customer service and getting people what they need, because their primary audience is the 50 plus crowd.
Okay.
So it is all about making sure. There was one gentleman who was a KYK listener. Warren spoke with him, who had, he was in his 70s, late 70s, early 80s, and was a little shaky in the hands. And it's kind of like he had to find the right phone for him that he'd be able to use. You know, even if, hands are a little shaky.
Yeah, yeah.
So they do all that stuff. They work hard with you. And then, of course, Warren had the opportunity on both Friday night and Saturday to go out to Discount Fireworks Superstores celebrations. And I heard nothing but, you know, great times and a lot of fun being had out there.
Awesome. And of course, we had Bob Barker on last week to talk all about that. So that's cool. And yeah, this week, this is... America 250, happy birthday.
Yeah,
this
coming
week,
up.
Saturday. It's on a Saturday, too.
Well, how convenient is that?
I know.
No excuses to not celebrate 250.
Oh, I plan. We're doing big doings. We're going to be up on the water up in Olympia, and it's always big, big doings. I don't know how many hundreds of dollars are being spent, but I'm sure a lot.
An investment in there.
Oh, yes. For the big 250, absolutely. We've got a really, really great lineup of shows all week. I just booked our friend Solomon Yu, who's got a new book coming out. We'll be talking to him on Thursday. Really excited about that. But today we've got Nick Hill from Marion Polk First Pack in here. Hey, Nick, it's good to see you.
Yeah, I was trying to think. Happy Patriot Week. I mean, I'm wearing my World Cup jersey. America's Team USA is doing well. They play Wednesday. Friday is the observed holiday, so everybody gets an extra day off. And then Saturday. So it's a three-day weekend. Well, you're lucky enough to have a three-day weekend.
Right.
Sort of.
Right.
God bless the retail workers. I used to be one.
Yeah, because they don't. Radio, too. You don't really get a whole lot of days off in radio. But we had Mayor Julie Hoy on a little bit ago, kind of, you know, and talking about how, you know, a lot of the election results didn't really go the way we wanted, but we wanted to have you on to kind of do a little bit of a postmortem, because some things are not settled. There's some updates. And so we wanted to have you on to share the latest scoop on what's going on.
Yeah, there's never an off season in politics for people who are big sports fans. Know that, you know, there's always something happening. So yeah, so looking back at the primary, we definitely lost some that we were hoping that we could win, but we were also excited for the ones that we, well, kind of won, which we'll talk about in a second. At the moment, yes, we have won. It's been certified. And then we've got Chris Cummings out in Ward 8 in West Salem, who's headed to a runoff.
Yeah, and, which doesn't happen very often.
Well, you know, and again, I don't want to get on my high horse, but Marion Polk First is 1-0 in runoff races for city council. So we're hoping to make that 2-0 come November. First, Deanna Gwynn in 2022. They had the runoff, and now Chris Cummings again in 2026 going for a runoff.
Do you know how many votes separate them in that race?
So last we saw, there was 5 votes in favor
of
Mickey with 968 undervotes. So 900 plus people in Ward 8 didn't vote for a city councilor, but I'm sure they are unhappy with the direction of Salem. So we need to go find those people and be like, hey, make sure you vote for your city councilor.
You need to
vote.
I don't get that. You take the time to vote and you don't vote in one of the most important races that affects your life every day. Don't get that.
It's crazy. They did a hand recount. Automatic trigger was below the threshold. Waiting to hear back from Polk County. I don't know what's taken them so long to give us a final number, but we haven't received any email or call or anything that anything different has changed. So
it goes to a runoff in November.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so also for me just found out, even though I work in politics, there's always been this kind of like, what's the magic number? So 50% plus one, which means the candidate needs 50% of the vote plus one additional vote for the number of write-ins that come in. So there was 14 write-ins in Ward 8. So Mickey or Chris would need to win by 15 votes over their opponent because they have to have one more than the write-in, because they will allocate, if someone were to write in Chris Cummings, if they bubbled in too many people or whatever, and they write in Chris Cummings, that vote would be allocated to Chris. But there's 14 names that are on the ballot that were not Chris and Mickey.
Okay.
So that's what it means when it plus one, 50% plus one, which neither got the threshold of that either. Chris had 49.87% and Mickey had 49.93% of the vote total. So neither candidate reached that threshold.
And again, this just proves the point that every vote does matter. I mean, especially in these races, these low turnout May primary, where you've got these important seats being decided pretty much in the May primary.
And especially as Republicans too. You know, I've been to a lot of things lately and, you know, it's all true. Everyone I've heard say, yes, we need to, you know, get the NAVs and independents. Yes, that is important, but 160,000 people didn't vote for governor. Republicans didn't vote for governor 4 years ago. We need to get those Republicans to the polls and voting for our people. It could have been a completely different story.
It would have been probably Governor Drazen.
Oh, well, I'm a Republican in Oregon, so it doesn't really matter. I just don't vote. Oh, what's the point?
I know. It's voter apathy, man. It's killing
so
us.
It's so frustrating.
Killing us. It is. And I don't know how you reach them. And the narrative out there that your vote doesn't matter is such baloney. And it needs to be just blown to smithereens and buried and never see it again.
Absolutely. So all of that being said, while that all sounds, gloom and doom. No, there's a lot of, positives. It's tough losing Julie and it's tough losing Deanna. Yeah. But if we get Betsy did get elected. And if we get Chris elected in November, then we haven't lost really any seats. Again, it's tough to lose the mayor and an incumbent, but if we can gain two, then we've really lost nothing. And then we'll have
its status quo.
Exactly. And then we'll have the Ward 7, which by no means is an easy ward to win, but with Vanessa vacating that seat, Ward 7 will be an open position come January next year.
So is that going to be a special election for that, or how's
that it'll
work?
it'll be on the school board in primary. Okay. when there's more than a year between the seat being up, there has to be a special election. And that's why Mickey was appointed, because I don't remember his name, but the old gentleman who was in Ward 8 stepped down in November, so Mickey was appointed in 2021.
And then that's why, Jim Lewis? I think that
was
Jim
Lewis.
Yes,
Jim Lewis. Thank you. Yeah. And so that's why there was no special election, because the election was less than a year up. So that's why there's an appointment.
Okay.
There will be no appointment here. So if you live in Ward 7 and you're thinking, maybe I can make a difference, we are looking for people to run. It's early. I realize that, but got to stay vigilant, got to get the training in, got to know what you're doing. And, you know, there's a lot of people behind the scenes that will help you get ready to run for office.
Yeah, and that's good. And that's kind of a bit of a new development. I know there have been, I think there's Western Liberty Network. There are a number of organizations that do training for people that want to run for office. One of them that we always talk about is like media training is so important to understand that you don't want to look, when a camera red light comes on, you don't want to pull a Cindy Brady and just be like frozen. You've got to have your talking points. And I've noticed an uptick in quality on candidates coming through, even through here, that are on it. They know their talking points. They've got their elevator speech. So kudos to you guys and those that are involved in putting that training together, because it matters.
Absolutely. I was just thinking, don't be like me. I always lead with this story. Like, it's okay. When I first came to talk with you guys 4 or 5 years ago, almost, and you asked me a question, I just sat here, I'm so sorry. What did you say again? But we've come a long way. And
look
so,
at you. You've come a long way.
The Salem Area Solutions Alliance, I may have talked about them in the past. And Marion & Polk First is a partner with this. There's a couple other groups involved. But we put together a training session last year, September through March, for candidates interested in running or who have already run to, how do you do your 90-second stump speech? How do you pivot and switch? How do you fundraise? What do you say? And so it gives people a good amount of time to get prepared, instead of, the filing deadline's next week. You're going to run. They're going to say nasty things about you. And all right, let's go get to work. Being thrown into the fire is not a winning solution.
It's not. And it's not good for your guts and your stomach and your stress level. So this is good for people, because it's hard and it's gotten a little harder and a little more Politics has always been rough and tumble, and you need a bit of a thick skin to do it. It just seems like it's gotten more expensive and it's gotten a little nastier. So
absolutely.
I always admire people for stepping up, and then for the families who back them, because if you don't have your family behind you, it makes it even more difficult. Nick, we're going to take a break.
Cool.
We got you for one more segment because I want to look towards the future.
Absolutely.
Like you mentioned school board, so there's a lot coming up. Again, we're talking with Nick Hill from Marion Polk First PAC, and you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All right, we're wrapping up our conversation today with Nick Hill from Marion Polk First PAC. So before the break, we were talking kind of looking with an eye to the future and staying engaged. And that's one of the things the Democrats do well. They got a well-oiled machine and they never sleep. The Republican side tends to go, okay, well, and then
summertime
kind of goes into hibernation. But that's changing too, and I'm so glad. But yeah, we've got big important races coming up in 27.
Yeah, I mean, well, even before that, we got big races at the end of this year, as you know. But yeah, I mean, we're always looking towards the future. I mean, you know, again, there is a lot of optimism, you know, as we head towards November. We can't take anything for granted, but we've got good candidates in the Valley area who are, you know, eager, ready to put in the work, do door knocking, ready to fundraise, phone calling.
How much do you get involved in the statewide races, you know, House and Senate and obviously the gubernatorial? Probably not so much, but you're right. Yeah, 26 obviously is a big year. It kind of goes without saying, but maybe not, again, with voter apathy being what it is.
Well, and yeah, that's what we're hoping to change. I mean, we will probably get involved with mostly, if not all, the races. So, I mean, we've already endorsed through the primary Kevin Mannix, Tracy Kramer, Noemi Legaspi. I feel like they're Angela Plowhead, Anna Munson. There's a couple of
17. Sorry. Are you in 17? Farrington came out. Farrington came out the primary winner.
Yeah,
in that race.
Yeah. We're going to bring him in. We haven't given him an endorsement yet. Most mm-hmm. of the races where there was two Republicans,
yeah,
you know, battling it out, we
sure.
kind of stayed out of.
Yeah.
But the idea is to bring, you know, more people and give them the, you know, access to like our I-360. You know, Dan Farrington is in a relatively safe district.
17's pretty solid.
So
right?
we don't yeah. necessarily need to do a lot of door knocking for him, but we want to, you know, give them access to, you know, our resources and what we have. But looking a little bit further over west, across the bridge in Polk County, obviously Marion and Polk First, we're trying to do more in Polk County, and there's been a lot of momentum in Monmouth lately.
Okay.
About people interested in running for city council. There's been a lot of issues happening that when I'm listening to these individuals talk, I'm like, man, this sounds like Salem Light. When we used to say, man, Salem sounds like Portland Light. Like, you know.
And all in lovely, sleepy, well, I don't know how sleepy Monmouth is, but in Monmouth, really, any particular issues that have popped up that are concerning?
The homeless and the church at the park has been a huge issue. Apparently, there's a massive homeless encampment at this church, and mm-hmm. the church has to constantly pick up trash and human feces and disgusting needles and all of that, and the people are just fed up. There's also, they want to put in 2,200, I think it's like not duplexes, but not apartments down behind the campus of Western Oregon, but they don't mm-hmm. want to update the road infrastructure. So they're essentially going to have 2,200 new people driving on Stadium Drive, but no upgrades, or they can drive through campus. And so people are very frustrated with that. I'm like, these are issues that will get people engaged on both sides of the aisle. People who live in Monmouth, like the small town, sleepy town of Monmouth, they don't want to be Salem. If they wanted to be Salem, they would just move to Salem.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of winning issues, and we've got good candidates running out there. Andrew Fudge, House District 20, and then Angela Plowhead, who's running against Deb Patterson for the Senate seat. So there's a lot of strong people out there. So they all need to lean on each other, use this grassroots networking, get door knockers, phone callers, and we might surprise. You know, I don't want to make any false promises, but when you've got good people and passionate about where they live, that's the game changer.
Yeah, yeah. And that's got to be, I know there were similar issues in Dallas, but I hadn't been following that super closely to, as far as where that ended up. But that's the reason a lot of people have moved across the river. They wanted to get out of the more urban area where all what you just described that's happening in Monmouth is happening in, at a larger scale in Salem. So I can imagine there's a lot of frustration. Is the mayor up for re-election?
Yeah, so it's the mayor, and then there's three city council seats that are up. Someone that we've endorsed in the past, Jason Ridgway, he ran 2 years ago, so he's not up, and he's conservative. So if they can win two, they would have a split council. If they can win three city council seats, they would have the majority. So again, I'm not temper expectations. There's a lot of work to do. I mean, I wish Marion and Polk First could help out Dallas, could help out Independence. I mean, you know, the more money we have, the more likely we can help. Here's my little, you know, fundraising pitch. But you all know that, you know, we do what we can with what we have. And yeah, there's just a lot of momentum, and I don't want to waste this opportunity. And to your point, as we move into 2027, we're going to have Salem-Keyser school board seats. Three seats up here, plus that special election for Ward 7. So if you're thinking about getting involved, now is the time to, you know, just ask the questions. If you don't want to get involved, maybe you know someone who would be like, oh, that guy would be great. I mean, Manny testified at a city council meeting. We saw it online and was like, this guy could do something. And that's how we found Manny to run for city
council. That's how a lot of candidates come up. There's an issue or something in their neighborhood that gets them mobilized. They mobilize their neighbors. People see leadership in that person, and then that's typically the way it has happened. So you want to be looking for those people, and a lot of times they're somewhat a little reluctant to do it. Be wary of the person who really wants to be a politician.
And you know, I'm sure there are Democrats out there that want to make their where they live better. But from what I've seen, the people who are currently in office are always like, okay, this is just a stepping stone for what's next. Whereas usually the conservative candidates are like, I don't know, I'm just tired of my water bill being so high, or I'm frustrated that teachers in schools aren't listening to the parents' input, and so I need to do something. And they're not necessarily looking like, well, I'm going to run for governor someday, so I'm going to start with city council. Our people are just trying to make where they live a better place for everybody.
Right, right. There was that one guy in Ward 3. He served for like 20 years. Wow. So let's, we got a couple minutes left with you. School board. Again, another one of these things where it's so critical who sits in those seats. Oregon is abysmal. I don't know where we rank right now, Hunter. Are we like number one as like the worst or?
Oh, well, at least to like 49th out of 51 or something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's that bad.
Yeah. Again, who sits in those seats? So which seats are up in 27? Is it the even or the odds?
Yeah, it's the even this time. So it'll be 2, 4, and 6. Okay. So it'll be Keyser, East Salem, and then South Salem. And again, these are bigger than the wards because the school district extends out to the county. So it's a much bigger area
zone, and then they're at large. The entire city votes.
Correct. So you have to live within the zone to run for that zone.
Yes.
But people in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 will vote for someone who's running in zone 6. So it's a little bit different than city council. But yeah,
I'm not overly impressed with that style. I think, you know, especially right here in Salem-Keyser, we have 6 public high schools, you know, so the representation for those areas is so just within that area. But yet, I mean, in Northeast Salem, I have people in, you know, all over town to get to vote on who represents Northeast Salem, kind of a thing. That's frustrating.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But yeah, I've heard that for years.
And it makes it so much more challenging to run. Now you have to convince the city that you're the right person for the school board spot. And I sit here and go, the big talking point is, look at where the school board has got us right now. There's literally layoffs happening. There's budget cuts. And yet they're not, you know, they're cutting the classrooms. They're not cutting the administrative side of things.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of work to do in the school board. And I know Satya, I don't know if you've had him on recently, but they had a packed house a couple weeks ago at a school board meeting because the bullying has just gotten out of control. He's been at meetings getting petition signed saying that this is an issue that we need to focus on. And he was so happy that people showed up and stayed till the end and were engaged. I mean, I understand that, you know, time is money, but this is something that you can do very easy that costs you no money, is go sit in on these meetings and listen to what these people are saying. And if you can't go, you can go to YouTube and they've got they've got it online, and just listen to what your leaders of your school district and, you know, your city are saying about not only you, but the resources, your money and everything that's funded. And it is appalling what they get away with because people just don't show up and speak up.
That's true. And the ones that do, I mean, typically get the redress that they want. And Satya had been sending out a lot of press releases. We did get a number of those and saw what was going on. I did not know that the turnout was so great. I'm very happy to hear that. Me because too. Like you're right, all too often people think somebody else is going to do it. And the ones that are motivated, and we've all seen them, and, you know, the fire hose of hate that's been aimed at certain school board members in the past is just completely unacceptable. And then what's happening in the schools, it should be unacceptable to all of us, whether you have kids in the school or not.
Yeah, 100%. No, the only person that's going to save you is yourself. So be engaged, be ready. MarionandPolkFirst.com, contact us. Hey, I heard Nick on the radio today. I'm interested in maybe running, or, oh, I know somebody. You know, don't hesitate to contact us, reach out, Facebook, say, I know someone. Time is of the essence. The general will be here before we know it. 2027 will be here before you know it. And we want to have people lined up now, trained, ready to go, get their messaging down, and be able to handle all the vitriol and tough stuff that's coming their way.
All right. Always a pleasure, Nick. Thanks for coming in. We'll have you back as we move forward in the process. And everything that you talked about and addresses we'll have in show notes.
Thank you so much.
All right. You bet. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. I'm on that.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
All righty. So, yes, of course, this is America 250, America's birthday week. We're celebrating, well, we've been celebrating all year. Some not as much as others.
Yeah, well, I think there's 50 states represented, you know, out there, and the majority are celebrating. Let's put it that way.
10 miscreant creepazoid states, including Oregon. I guess the chair of the Oregon Republican Party, Connie Welchel, I saw this video, and I think the Oregon ORP put it out. Visitors are snickering at the Oregon exhibit at the Great American State Fair. She reports from the fair in the empty booth, and she's kind of sitting there in a, it's basically got some like graphics on the back, the stock ones that all of them have. And there's like a chair and a table, and it's really sad and it's really pathetic because the governor of this great state decided that, you know, she knows better. She's not proud of Oregon. She's not proud of America. Why should you guys be? Why would you want to be represented there? I like Washington State. There's a senator, I think, from Washington State who flew over there on his own dime. And he's marking people's little passports as you go around, you get passports. He's making them say, like, who won the Mariners?
Yeah.
Seahawks football.
It's the Seahawks. Super Bowl. Seahawks won the Super Bowl.
He's making them say, like, Seahawks are number one and giving them that. But that's kind of what it takes, because I wonder if there are going to be some volunteers from Oregon who go out there, some Republican representatives, Republican state senators who just are like, this is crap. We're going to go out there and represent.
Well, it's so frustrating that, you know, the governor has made it her only mission is, you know, and she's been talking about it. She's been running on it. It's that I'm going to push back on Trump. So because Trump is president, you don't want Oregon represented in the 250th celebration of the United States.
Yeah.
I'm going, how
what crap is that?
Well, it's a God complex. She thinks that she is so much more important than every other Oregonian out there, every other person that would ever claim any kind of love or lineage of the state of Oregon. We don't want to represent. So, of course, yeah, it's a very generic little canopy set up out there. And I just sit here and go, that's the representation. As the infrastructure and your state is being taxed to death and things are falling apart. I actually had a long conversation this weekend about the future of the Portland Trailblazers. Because I really don't think they are going to be here long term based on everything I am seeing and some things that came out over the weekend. Can I just sit here and go, as the leader of a state, you are pretty much putting yourself above everyone else. So the next time I see a No Kings rally, that's going to be my one question is this against Tina Kotek? Because she is such a queen or king, whatever you want to call her, that she says Oregon doesn't want to participate in the celebration.
And meanwhile, you've got the state is hemorrhaging businesses, hemorrhaging brain trust, hemorrhaging money. Those that can move out, who have any kind of a business, are moving out. And so you'd think, you know, this is an opportunity to sort of say, hey, this is Oregon. We've got beautiful natural resources. Of course, they killed the timber industry, which was the biggest one. Again, read that book, Oregoners, by Dennis Neal, because it really goes into detail. This has been an ongoing assault on the state for decades. Mm-hmm. And I just think this is sour grapes, and I think it's hateful, frankly, that this woman is deciding all by herself that there doesn't need to be any representation because she doesn't like the guy who's in office. It's like, grow up. It's so ridiculous. These people are just pathetic.
Well, and I just sit here and go, you know, there's been times in my life I wasn't a big fan of the guy in the office.
Yep, me too.
Numerous times, and yet I didn't sit here and say, I'm going to take my ball and go home. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to be a part of life simply because I don't like someone who's been elected to office. Guess what? Yeah. We have elections for a reason. The way this country is set up, that can change. And it will change.
Well, given the SCOTUS ruling this morning,
she's
Amy Coney Barrett looking at you. Anyway, the only people that lose, of course, are, you know, hardworking Oregonians who craft things and make things and do amazing things are just they're not being celebrated. And that's what this is about and what it should be about to the governor.
Well,
and it isn't.
I would put it right out here. Let's look at the fact that, like we said, businesses are leaving this state.
Yep.
People are leaving this state. Basketball team is probably going to be leaving this state. And yet here's an opportunity on a national stage to go out there and show the rest of the United States what Oregon has to offer. We're going to become nothing but a tourist place. They're going to come out to see what, you know, what it looks like when a city's been abandoned and nature has taken it back. They're going to be able to see, you know, what it looks like with massive forest fires that burn half of the state and what happens. It is going to be, whether it's positive or negative, it is going to be a tourist-driven state because we're taking big business and saying, we don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you want to be there to at least show people that, guess what? We do have some touristy things. Maybe if you're, you know, looking for a vacation, maybe instead of going down to LA and breathing in the smog, maybe you'll come to Oregon.
But be prepared to pay a fee on your inner tube if you want to go over to Lake Billy Chinook and float around for a while. I mean, okay.
Well, that's
all self-inflicted wounds. These are choices.
But if you convince them to come, then they're going to end up paying it because they're not going to come to Oregon and not float on the inner tube.
What else is there to do in Oregon? There's another account that I love. I found this. Let's see where it is. It's called 250 years ago. Again, because we celebrate this great country. This is the it's an exceptional country. Consider yourself absolutely blessed. I think the odds of you being born an American are pretty low. So you won the lottery here. This is it's 1776 Live. It's a Twitter account and it's live posting as a reporter embedded in history. Mm-hmm. And today was Thomas Paine publishes an open letter to the Pennsylvania Evening Post under the name Republicus, which advocates for the name United States of America for the new nation now emerging. This is the first time such a term has been used. If you're a history geek, you can just totally geek out on this thread. It is so cool. So cool.
Yeah, I think it's very cool that they're going back and actually as if we had today's reporting of what was going on at the start of this country. And I just sit here and I go, these are the things that should be prompted up and pushed out there and get more exposure than they're getting because today's generation would understand it from this perspective, probably more than they do in sitting in a classroom reading it from a textbook that the teacher is saying is probably biased.
Right. Well, and like, you know, I mean, you know, we were talking about education and then the state of Salem-Keizer Public Schools with Nick, and you just look at, I mean, they became indoctrination factories, which have basically been teaching our children to hate their country, to only look at the negative, to not look at the whole picture, the good, bad, and the ugly. And of course, here we are, and you look at what happened in New York and Seattle and Portland. And this is why people who don't know what communism is and the millions and millions of lives that have been that have perished and been murdered at the altar of communism, they're going to vote like idiots. And that's what we're getting.
Well, and you take the words of the people that are here visiting for FIFA and those things. And it's like you said it. You are lucky. You won the lottery to be born in the United States of America.
You did.
And all you need to do is go find some of these people that are in this country to watch soccer or football, as they would call it, and literally have that conversation with them. And maybe, just maybe, you'll realize how lucky you are to be an American.
Can we trade the Freddies and those folks, the people from Germany and Great Britain, for the blue-haired freaks that are screaming and yelling about who knows what today?
I think that offer could probably be made, because most of them, at least at one point in the last, 8-10 years, have screamed that they are going to leave the country if this guy wins election.
Well, hurry up. Do you need some help packing? I'll help. I've got some moving boxes.
Now that we've got a trade opportunity, they might be a little more open to the idea.
So speaking of that, because obviously FIFA and the World Cup it's in Seattle right now, and they've done a lot of zhuzhing around of the homeless people and moving the problem over here, there, and everywhere. There was some kind of a protest again. The blue-haired, septum-pierced crowd decided to take their clothes off and ride bikes in front of little kids. Did you see that?
I saw some things. I think I guess there was a national naked bike ride, because I actually saw some reports that somebody was shooting naked bike riders with like a pellet gun or a BB gun in New York. I saw a little thing on that, which I guess if you don't have clothes on, it's not cool. But if you don't have clothes on, that's going to sting a little bit.
It is. And you see a lot of people with a lot of shortcomings out there. A lot of tiny little, I won't go any further. It's like, you really want to be like flying that flag. Okay. But that's something I could do without. I don't think I need to see that. That's what eye bleach is for, I guess.
Well, I just sit here. The whole concept of a naked bike ride to me, I'm going this, if I were to wander around naked in public, I'm going to get in trouble for it. But yet you want to do this. You want to do why? Because you have the right political agenda. You get the scot-free, do whatever you want mentality.
It's so weird. It's like wicked Arrested Development. I mean, there was some video of some people, adults. It's one thing to see Timmy, the 2-year-old, out there in his birthday suit, but I don't want to see Susie, the HR lady, in all her glory out there. It's like, it's Arrested Development. I don't get it.
Well, it takes it right back to the most simple of concepts. It's like, with a lot of these pride events and these pride things going on, there is behavior occurring that if it was a husband and wife with that same behavior, they would be literally screamed at and pointed at and sit there and go, what the heck are you doing? You can't be doing that in front of people. But yet, and I've been there, I've seen it happen. Where it's like, this behavior in front of my young children isn't acceptable, whether you're gay, straight, trans, whatever. I don't even care. You know, if you're an algae, I don't care. You shouldn't be doing this in front of my children.
Really? Even the algae?
The algae. I don't want to see it multiply.
I don't either. Oh, gosh. Get a room, algae. I got to say, too, because this is all taking place on the West Coast where it's rainy, drizzly, and kind of cold. Like I mentioned, I was in Provincetown, which is sort of ground zero for all of this, that and maybe Fire Island. I didn't see any of that in Provincetown at all.
Well, like I said, it seems like such a different mentality when you're talking East Coast and West Coast.
Yeah.
The West Coast has been bred to believe that whatever they feel like, that's what they should do. And where on the East Coast, it seems like, do what you're going to do, but be respectful and prideful of overall. I mean, you said it, the amount of patriotism was strong, even in an area where a lot of people probably don't like the president.
Correct. Exactly right. But it was all still there. And they understood, what it is they're celebrating, especially, obviously Boston and Massachusetts and everything else. So it was a completely different vibe. It's embarrassing. It's like, where are you from? Oh, really? Okay. So anyway, let's go ahead and take our last break. I want to talk about a book I read over the weekend, just a little bit, because I think a lot of our problems are stemming from what Dr. Gad Saad puts down in his book. So you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty, so I finished up a book, a great book that I highly recommend you put on your reading list. It's a book called Suicidal Empathy by the wonderful Dr. Gad Saad. Killing ourselves with kindness. We all know these people. They're all around us. They're the, be kind as they're smashing you over the head with a chair. We're the most tolerant. We're the kindest. Or, we need to allow our borders to be wide open because we can't be mean, or they're taking, sort of a scripture out of context to justify this. And so we see the damage that is done, and it literally is dying to be kind. And it's all about this sort of misfiring of our very human empathy response. And empathy is a good thing, but now this empathy is, it's gone completely over the top, and it's become suicidal. As a nation, it's become that.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm sitting here going, and you brought the extreme suicidal empathy people, the ones that, I love everyone except you because you don't agree with me mentality.
Right.
I like to focus more on the center of the road, the people that will tell you they're very open-minded and they listen to multiple news sources, this and that. Mm-hmm. But then when you have that conversation and they see maybe a homeless person or anyone else, it's always like, we need to find a way to help them. We need to find a way to help. And individually, that's a nice thing.
Right.
But unfortunately, that individual thing has now become a massive industry controlled by our government that is milking us dry and not fixing the problem. In fact, making it worse. And I just sit here and go, I saw a little thing. I believe there's a Democrat out there somewhere who's trying to get the national minimum wage up to $25 an hour.
Yep. Saw
because
that. Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs a living wage so that they can do this. Mm-hmm. I go, all you are doing is you are literally taking it. You would create such inflation that you would make a massive poverty class. Because even at $25 an hour, now I can't afford that. You're trying to eliminate change because 25 cents would become passe at that point.
Right. And again, the very people that the super empathetic, the toxically empathetic, they're the very people that they're claiming that they want to help are the ones that are literally destroyed in many cases by these very policies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look at what $20 an hour minimum wage for fast food workers has done to every community that's ever tried it. It is either closed down food options or they've been replaced by machines and screens.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to read a little bit from a review here over at Louder with Crowder. This is pretty much echoes my thoughts on this. Again, this is Gad Saad. He's also the author of The Parasitic Mind, and this kind of really you should probably read both together. He said that the ideas that are causing cultural harikari began in the institutions and worked their way out from there. It's wokeness, it's multiculturalism, it's communism, it's critical theory. Saad delves into several areas where suicidal empathy has reared its ugly head, including COVID, Islam in the West, Islamophobia, criminal justice, and environmentalism. Conservatives will read this with renewed horror. Any liberal who deigns to pick up something so far outside their comfort zone will look at the rapes, murders, and suicide of Western society and not understand what the problem is. I would love to see the people that you're talking about who really need to read this book, who this book would be very beneficial, probably will never pick it up, much less open it.
Well, I can think of numerous family members that need to read this kind of a book to open their mind to the fact that kindness and empathy is a good thing.
Yes.
But too much kindness and empathy embeds bad things. And there's people out there exploiting it. And that's one of those things in conversations with people, they never recognize that there's people out there looking to exploit your empathy and your caring. And until you recognize that for every person you care about, there's one trying to take advantage of you for caring, you're going to go down a spiral that is going to be very hard to get out of.
and taking the rest of us all down with it, because mm-hmm. this is something that is happening not just in America, it's happening in Europe. It is an attack, a coordinated, concerted attack on Western civilization. And frankly, Christianity, Judaism. I'm going to read another quote from here. Western civilization, because you talk about empathy, it's positive. It's a good thing mm-hmm. in measure, like anything else, in moderation. Quote, Western civilization cannot exist without empathy. Without empathy, the slaves don't get freed. America doesn't rebel. Women don't get equality. There is no justice, just the will of the strong. And she goes on to say, even the atomic bombs were dropped empathetically when the loss of life equations were calculated. Without empathy, human life doesn't have value. But what do we do when that empathy is misapplied? What happens instead of serving as a guide? Empathy becomes the end goal in and of itself. And I would say we're here. That's where we are right now.
Well, there's so many aspects of today's society, whether it is what happened in Venezuela, what's happening in Iran, whether it is, you know, the Israel-Gaza scenario, and whether it is, you know, illegal immigration. You're empathetic for the people that are coming here illegally, but you're throwing out any empathy for the people that went through the process to be here mm-hmm. legally, that put in the hours and the work and the money and everything else it took to be here legal. We're throwing them all out, and they're now race traitors or whatever you want to call them, because they're not on board with the people that just showed up.
Yeah. So I don't know if we are over the tipping point. I don't know. I've had conversations, you've had conversations with friends and family members who fit this very well. The mm-hmm. people who, you know, everything is based on emotion. Well, don't you, we're being nice. We're nicing ourselves to death.
Yeah.
Nice is like the highest, you have to be nice.
Well, and
why?
Why
do I have to be nice?
Well, but you going beyond that, it's like they see you be nice and now it's an expectation. And now you need to build on that niceness to keep us from, you know, targeting you and being upset with you. Go to the next level of nice and the next level of nice. And then before you know it, you're just being walked all over and you don't even realize it.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, highly recommend this book. He's a great writer. It's annotated within an inch of its life. The citations, just like half an inch pages. Mm-hmm. I mean, he brings receipts for all of this, and this is a good one. I have not yet read The Parasitic Mind. I need to do that. He's one of my favorite when he's on. And again, he's of Lebanese descent. He's a Jew, a Lebanese Jew. So he's a very interesting man. So I highly recommend that. Okay, we've got to talk.
Well, if we're going to be empathetic, we might as well be empathetic for writers of Hollywood who are so bad at what they do, they need to rehash 41-year-old movies.
I could not believe I saw this headline. I had to send it to you. I love this movie. It's of my mm-hmm. generation, St. Elmo's Fire. Rob Lowe confirms a sequel to the 41-year-old cult classic Brat Pack movie is coming back. Do you really want to see everybody in their 60s from St. Elmo's Fire, that Georgetown bar? I don't know. Rob Lowe looks pretty good. Some of the others,
Well, at this point, it may be more of like an episode of Cheers, you know. But that's the thing. How do you take a 41-year-old sequel? You either have to fully recast it with young actors, or you take all the old originals and you bring them back in now what, a, you know, retirement?
Hey, you're talking about my Jen Jones, Gen X here. Come on. But we're all in our 60s, mm-hmm. 50s and 60s. And so Demi Moore, of course, we've seen lots of pictures of her. She's had a lot of work done and she looks very thin. And I don't know about the other ones. I haven't seen pictures. I'm looking at a cast picture here now. Emilio Estevez looks pretty good. I'm kind of intrigued by this. I kind of like it as a where are they now? It'd be interesting to see how they write where they are now.
Maybe that's the angle they really need to take. Where are they now?
And then again, we have to say, do we really care?
Yeah. What happens? It'll be one of those ones you watch when it comes out on a streaming service one time.
Yeah.
And that will be as far as that experience goes.
Yeah. Because I'm kind of like, yeah, don't really care. Not really that interested in it, but we'll see. Rob Lowe does look good, though.
It is just those rehashing the originals because there's no new ideas out there.
There's no new ideas. All right, everybody, that is it for us. We got our Real Estate Insights on tomorrow's show. Go out and enjoy the day. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, live local talk that matters to you. exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.